This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and I recently decided to give Sterling Soap Company's Ground Breakfast Blend coffee a try. While brewing, the aroma was inviting, and the taste? Lightly sweet and delicious, as the texture of this amazing coffee was sweet and smooth, as I experienced a coffee with a velvety texture, almost creamy. Sterling's breakfast blend is light but in no way weak, with a high quality taste and smell. My wife and I are now hooked on Sterling Soap coffee, and you should be too. Check out their coffees and other products at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
This is our league, and this is your league. Broadcasting from the 55-yard line in Japan to the shores of the Great White North and everywhere around the world on Gridiron America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Gridiron America today. It is Dave and me. It's Greg. And, you know, we're a couple days late because Dave, apparently, his internet, a squirrel chewed through the line or something. So you were pretty much.
had some issues.
Yeah, you had some issues. So, and not a big deal. And Mike can't be with us tonight. So hopefully we'll have Mike next week. But we're back and we're a day before, 24 hours before the start of the new week with the CFL. So we figured we would go over real quickly, talk about the CFL games, but more important, just as important, if not more important, I don't know. They're all important because we've got 41 professional teams to kind of follow, which is completely impossible, in about a 30 to 40 minute podcast to talk. I don't know how the guys at the World of Football, Randy and Adam, they cover everything literally. But we're just kind of hitting the highlights and everything. And really this episode, so we're going to talk about CFL, the week that was in the CFL, real quickly talk about the games coming up. But then, we got NFL training camps opening really this week. I know the Rams and Niners have opened up because they're coming to this side of the world to play, the first game of the year. Which, Dave, did you realize? I did not realize this till I looked it up, that they're playing the game like at 10 a.m. in the morning in Australia.
Did not realize that. Wow.
Because so it'll fit into prime time, which I was all excited. So I'm like, okay, they're coming to this side of the world. That means I don't have to get up early to watch a game. And then I'm like doing some digging. I'm like, oh, shit. You got to be kidding me. No primetime game. I mean, night football here to watch a game. There's only a couple chances you get to watch an evening game here, and that's if the X League, because the X League does this once or twice a year, plays like a big showcase game in the evening, and that's great. But the rest of the year, forget it. So the only way to really to watch football here in Japan is you got to get up super duper early or go to bed super duper late. I don't stay up late for 2 a.m. games, and I don't get up early for 3 a.m. games. But, I did not know that until I looked, and I'm like, oh, crap. So, but, yeah, that's what we got coming up. So, yeah, we're talking NFL, some NFL football today. Really kind of more specifically, because I was thinking about what we could talk about before we went on the air with the NFL. And then, I thought, well, maybe we'll start with uniforms. Let's just talk fashion. Because the Bills' new uniforms, alternate football uniforms, have dropped, and I have given Dave an earful about my opinion about them. So, with that said, so how you doing, man? How's all the internet stuff worked out?
Yep, everything is great. Pretty clear right now. Looking good, sounding good, and those are maybe the new Nickel City uniforms is what caused my internet to not work.
Wow, that could be. Could be. How am I coming through on your end? Do I sound like I'm in a tin can right now?
Nope. You sound
okay. Perfect. Yeah, because we had that issue. What was it, last episode or the episode before, where, you know, bottom line is I accidentally unplugged my mic, plugged it back in, and I thought I sounded fine, but you guys were like hearing me in a tin can, but nobody said anything. So
there's no easy way to say it when you're recording. We're talking to each other over. Going. Yeah, how do you really can't go back and like, hey, stop here. We're gonna re-record from here on out. Like it's tough. So
yeah. Well, it's like when it happens with guys, man. If our buddy has their fly open, we're not gonna say anything. We're just gonna okay. All right. Well, you know, on that note.
But I mean talking about chiming in a little bit on the jersey, it is interesting that the machine that the NFL is with training camps just about starting. We got to squeeze in a little more news with all these new third alternate jerseys or third jerseys or whatever you want to call them. They don't miss a day on the calendar year without dropping something for us to talk about or discuss.
No, that is the beauty about the NFL. It's 12 months a year. And I don't know about you. Sometimes I got to take, like, during the off season, I got to take a month or two off from the NFL. Even right now, I haven't really looked too much at the NFL because I know we're going to be getting it in. The tidal wave is coming. I've already got the notification from one of my main fantasy football league that we're starting again. So, get prepped and everything. You and I, we still need to work on our fantasy football league for the podcast. For those who are listening, we're going to do a fantasy football league here. I've got it all set up. I just need to put it on the website. But that's just the lazy me and has yet to do that. I might do that today. We'll see. Cause I mean, our website's easy. It's about as easy as you can get. It's just a blog. And, it's going to be an 8-team league. So there's three of us. There's Mike, you, me. I would assume there'll probably be two of one of my college buddies, one of my Navy buddies. So realistically, there might be three. But if all of a sudden it's filled up, I might just expand it out to 10, but no more than 12, because 12 team leagues are the worst, which is what I'm in with my old job, the one that I won the title several years back. So, and that was when you have 12 teams in a fantasy football league. That's when you realize just how important depth is on your bench.
So. And for myself, I love that. That is, I love finding that third and fourth running back, the fifth and sixth receiver who no one counted on earlier in the year. By week seven, all of a sudden, they're a mainstay in an offense that needs production. So I love it.
Well, and that's a great thing about AI. Because now all these fantasy football, like ESPN and the NFL fantasy football league got merged into the ESPN. So that's, I liked how the NFL did theirs. So hopefully not big, but it is what it is. So, but for our league, we're going to be using Yahoo because that works. That's really, really good. And, AI powers a lot of it. And I'm not dismissive or even critical of AI. I think AI is wonderful, but I know there are people out there who think otherwise, and a lot of them have never even used AI, which is kind of the funny part.
Now the question is, did AI just say that, or did you?
No, that was me. That was all me. It's like, but like our intro, our intro and our outro, that was all built by AI. I had no other. It's like, oh, you should do it. You're fuck you. Excuse me. But I don't have that talent. But dealing with AI when you're trying to get the artwork right is a challenge. So like how we've done our intro and our outro, that was like maybe, I don't know, that was a lot of work that went in there where I was yelling, typing in all caps in my prompts, like, get it right. It's easy to figure out. So what we have was about as good as it, but it looks nice, and the thing is with AI, I've been going down a YouTube rabbit hole lately. And a lot of people are using AI. I mean, that's just bottom line. But the way they've been using it has been actually pretty good to recreate like historical photographs. Like, okay, it's basic. once you go in with the mindset AI is artwork, and I know it, you know, people are just like, well, it's all based on copyright stuff, and I understand that, but I'm still entertained. I don't care at this point. So, but it's nice on this podcast. Nobody's, you know, we have no issues with AI. So that's what I love. All right. So moving on here, let's talk. See, I'm rambling here. I think I've had about 4 cups of coffee. So we just wrapped up week 8 in the CFL, which Dave, you and I were talking about this before we went on the air here. It was not as the CFL week, the season is gone. I would say this has been probably entertainment wise, its weakest week, only because you had 1, 2, you had 3 of the 4 games that were decided by easily more than 10 points. So let's start off with the big game, and that was the Edmonton Saskatchewan game. And there were a lot of heavy hearts going into this game because of what happened the week before with Saskatchewan.
Yes. I mean, this game showed you what 2 healthy CFL quarterbacks can do. And that's what that's what the CFL is missing right now, is there's injuries. They're starting to affect league play, and we're watching that as some teams are competing, and obviously some teams are just trying to get to the next week or get to when that quarterback can get back and be healthy. But it was an extremely entertaining game. Both teams moved the ball. You had almost 1,000 yards of total offense. You had Cody Fajardo with over 500 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. I mean, Trevor Harris, great night for him as well. Almost 400 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. But it was good to see. It was a definitely emotional game. The crowd was charged up, and everybody who was there and everybody watched on TV got every single penny's worth out of that game.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was. I mean, this was. You know, it's amazing just looking at the score. Because you look at like how it breaks down points wise, quarter wise. I mean, Saskatchewan was, I mean, easily could have won this game because you look at how many points they scored in the 4th quarter. I mean, it could have gone either way. And obviously, this season it's bouncing Edmonton's way, which it's nice to see. But yeah, it easily could have gone the other way.
Mm-hmm. And once again, another game where it goes right down to a field goal deciding the game at the very end.
Yeah.
Last week, if Toronto made their field goal, they would have won instead of losing. So
yeah.
It's honestly, I don't think the CFL can ask for anything better than this.
A great competitive game,
70 points up and down. They're still, I mean, they're still, the defense has still made stops. Right. There are still punts. There was, the teams weren't 100% in the red zone, so there definitely was stop. And it's the bend, don't break philosophy on defense.
Yep. Yeah. Well, speaking of bending, not breaking, the Bombers broke last week against the Stampeders. It was, 52-30? Man, see Calgary put up that many points on Winnipeg, of all teams, was a bit of a shocker. Especially, you know, Calgary in the final 2 quarters, they put up 27.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a close game, but for that first half, I mean, you know, Calgary was up at the half, but I thought this game was just going to be a lot closer than what it ended up being.
It definitely, but it was once again entertaining, and like I said, I don't think I'm not sure I'm thinking that has to be a points record for Princess Auto Stadium there, 52 points being given up, but Winnipeg for the problems that they had, they didn't play a bad game on offense. It just special teams and and defense just it didn't give them enough. I mean, if you'd have told me with Drew Brown at quarterback for Winnipeg and you get 30 points, I think you got a chance.
Yeah. But
four interceptions is just not going to, once again, four interceptions is just not going to get it done in the CFL.
Yeah, it looked like he was playing for Ottawa.
Yeah. And I think I made the comment to you guys when we were discussing this offline. I go, maybe Ryan did what he did have some inside information on why he traded him.
Yeah, could be.
He looked great last week, but all of a sudden it's like, ooh, that was a tough one. And another 118-yard missed field goal return. So it was another.
Yeah.
And I was reading at it was a kickoff return, receiving a return and a reception, a kickoff, a missed field goal, a reception for a touchdown, and a running touchdown. That was it was awesome by Tariq McMaster. So, it was great effort.
Yeah, and you don't see those runs in four down football at all. No, you never see runs like that. So that's what I love about it. Because again, it goes back to the CFL being it is the most exciting league out there. Because anything can happen, and we see that week in and week out.
It does seem like, and now this just could be me, but ever since they announced that the 55-yard line was disappearing, it seems like we have one a week.
Yes.
It seems like we've had more in the first 8 weeks of the season this year than we've had like in 3 or 4 years combined. But it's highlighted so much more now.
Well, maybe fingers crossed they'll reconsider that though. I mean, I listen. There's a Facebook page you've probably seen, and I don't even know if you remember all, but it's Fire the Commissioner, the group, and it's a bunch of old white guys CFL fans in there, and it's I don't know. To me, it's like the equivalent of going on to it's just seeing baby boomers on Facebook bitching about the way. You know, the way life is and everything. And I'm like, well, okay, maybe they will reconsider it, but I don't know. Would shortening the football field by 10 yards make those types of plays go away? I would tend to think that those types of long returns and everything are still going to be part of the game, the CFL game moving forward. Cause you're only trimming up about, you're trimming up what 5 yards on either side of the either side of the field. So, but yeah, to go to your point, it just seems like it's once a week now. These exciting plays, and again, it highlights the fact that just how much to me at least better the CFL game is than you know what we grew up with in the States. But that's my opinion. So, all right, moving on here, we got Toronto, BC, my BC Lions. 26-12 BC, you know, BC is not going to make the playoffs this year at the rate they're going, period. And you've got, with Toronto, I mean, they are still a one trick pony, but it seems now that, Kelly's out, they've actually improved.
Well, the indications were that he's not going to miss any time. So that's what I was reading earlier today. And honestly, he was for the first half, he was 15 of 18, almost 200 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, if he didn't get hurt,
right,
that game could have gotten really ugly. And nothing against Nick Arbuckle, but obviously it's just like when the starter's getting snaps and the backup. I mean, I think Chad Kelly could have had a 450-yard day by the time that game was over, if he didn't get hurt and they could have scored. They could have scored 40 or 50 points the way that offense was working in the first half. So, I think once he got hurt and you're up 17-6 at halftime, it's like, Nick, protect the ball.
Yeah.
I got a lot of 5-6 yard passes, keep the ball moving.
Yeah.
And more than anything, keep the clock running. And that's pretty much what the second half was. I mean, they exchanged, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 field goals in the second half. Combined. So it was just one of those things where it's like, you know what? Yep, you got out with the win and you only had the one injury and you live to see another day.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not a everybody. I think most people know I'm not a Chad Kelly fan. Mm-hmm. So, but the one thing with Toronto is they're smart enough to have two quality quarterbacks on the bench.
Yeah,
that's the one thing about. That's the one thing. It's like, yeah, other teams. And again, this goes back to our fantasy football discussion about having depth on your bench. It mm-hmm. when you have depth at quarterback, it makes, you know, I mean, I don't see Toronto. I mean, Toronto right now, I don't know, man. I could see Toronto. I think they're going to hopefully, I mean, maybe they're going to get better throughout the year. I mean, their record to me doesn't reflect how good they are, but they mm-hmm. are still a very one-dimensional team.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. It,
if Bo Levi Mitchell comes back sooner than later, Toronto's best thing they'll do will be third. If he doesn't, they have a very good chance of getting the second place. Yeah. Right. What will that record be? 8-10? Possibly. I mean, it's one of those things where you have the cream of the crop, then you have three quarters of the teams in that next level, and then you have
the crap at the bottom.
Yeah. And going and just looking, I mean, finishing up the BC game, Chase Bryce didn't look awful. I mean, he had made some plays. They did bring in Caden Salter, who is starting this week, and it'll be interesting to see what he brings in, because he had 121 yards in his limited time. And honestly, how much? Here's the next thing: is how many snaps has he gotten? Like it's just one of those things where, you can see when Trey Ford became the number one quarterback and he had time in the offense, what the improvement was. So it'll be interesting to see with Salter what a week of practice looks like for him going in their next game, because they need to find some answers if Nathan Rourke's going to be out extended period of time.
Yeah, and they got to find him quick, because I mean, they're 1-5. I mean, there is no
– Yeah.
I mean, Calgary's 3-4. I mean, there's still two-thirds of a season left to play, but they need to figure this out now, because it's not going to get any better. I mean, it's quickly becoming a seven-team playoff talk instead of a nine. You know, talking about the chances of nine teams making the playoffs.
Well, even for Calgary, 3-4, I think they're a much better team than their record.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
it's just who you play on that week and how you respond. So,
I mean, all you got to do is look at the point differentials.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, that is kind of the key. So you got Calgary; they've got. Let's see. Let me make sure I got this. Make sure I got this right. So they've scored the most points of any team in the CFL. They're 3-4.
Wow.
They've given up 244 points. The most points in the CFL. So, I mean, they're on both sides. I mean, they're number one on both sides of the ball, you know, and not in terms of the most, not the least. But then you've got, Winnipeg is only 180. I mean, yeah, hell, Edmonton's, 200 and, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, Calgary is not a team. I mean, Calgary could easily win this thing the way they've been playing. It's just, you know. The ball bouncing the right way for multiple games, because again, they're 3-4. And I mean, we could sit here and make an argument that they could easily be 6-1 at this point. So, which gets into the final game here. Let's talk about a team that is 6-1. Let's talk about Montreal and Hamilton.
Hamilton through three quarters gave them everything they could take. It was impressive showing by Hamilton, who seems to play Montreal pretty tough in a game that on paper you thought Montreal was going to just obliterate them. But start of the fourth quarter, Hamilton had the lead, and it was it looked like there was a chance. It didn't look like it was an automatic win for Montreal. So they definitely earned it, and they could have been. I mean, this could have been the worst Davis Alexander win performance of his CFL career. I mean, the running game for Montreal is just it might be it might be just as good as Edmonton's. It's that good. I mean, it's just the holes. I mean, the play calling is just outstanding. It really is overall. It's just outstanding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Montreal is the team to beat. And, you know, at this point here, I'm just kind of giving them, I'm giving them the division at this point. Because I, unless a major injury hits, I don't see any of the other teams catching up with
it. Yeah, I mean, Ottawa certainly won't.
Nope. And Toronto might, but we'll see. I mean,
that's a tall, even with all these games left, that's a tall task to ask for. It'll be the question now is at what point or when, what is the discussion on, as we get through this season, does Montreal sit Alexander just out of sheer, it's 18 games and you need him for the next four. So it's just the next two. But so it's like, how far into this do you really need? Does he need to be playing week? If you clinch this by week 14, how much do you need him playing besides keeping a grasp of the offense, not becoming rusty from the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season? That's the only question.
It gets into my next question. So we've got for next week, we got BC at Winnipeg. That's going to be a Winnipeg win. Then we've got Calgary and Hamilton. Calgary win. We got the rematch. We got the Riders and the Elks at Edmonton. I'm thinking that's going to be an Edmonton win. I just feel it. Hopefully you're going to have I'm hoping for 50,000 people showing up at this game. Probably won't happen, but I'm hoping for a crowd. But then you've got Montreal at Ottawa. I could make a case easily for them sitting Davis Alexander for this game and let the backup play.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to play every game. I mean, everybody wants to play every game. But if there was ever a reason to sit your star QB just for a game, just to, you know, may keep him away from an injury, I would say I would say the game against Ottawa, because I don't see Ottawa getting any better. And I mean, it's not going to happen, but that's what I would do if this were a Madden league. How about that?
Yeah. It'll be interesting because Dustin Crum has played in the past, so this wouldn't be something new to him. I'm just curious. I'm curious if Montreal's thinking, here's a great chance to put the dagger in Ottawa now.
Yeah.
I can make a case for both. It seems too early to me to be sitting starters, but I understand what you're saying.
I agree with you too. What you're saying too. I mean, it's one of those interesting dilemmas I think any coach likes to have.
Yep.
Because
the week after that, the 8th, Edmonton comes to Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that is going to be a wonderful game. Saturday, it's a Saturday afternoon game.
Yeah, it's a 4 a.m. game here for me.
No offense, but you might have to get up for that one.
I might have to get up for that one.
Looking at that weekend, you have Calgary, Toronto on Thursday, and then you have Ottawa, Saskatchewan. You know, that's on Friday night, and then Saturday's games: Edmonton and Montreal, followed by Hamilton at BC Saturday night.
Right. Well, the problem is we're getting now in with the CFL as we're approaching the end of the month here.
Yeah.
Is the NFL is starting up.
Yep.
So that's going to affect how you know what time I get up in the morning and how I watch the games. And then we've got next weekend, the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, that has to be next. I think it's in August. Yeah.
So it's the Cardinals and the Panthers playing in the Hall of Fame game, which I'm a huge Cardinals. I'm, you know, the number one Cardinals fan, as you can see over here, over there. And Yeah, so I'll be watching. Yeah, so now there's going to be a lot of, I guess what I'm trying to say is we're going to be going from four games a weekend to a whole bunch of games over the weekend. So it's going to be, the balance is going to be hard. I mean, I've got my man cave in here. I got multiple screens but even with all the monitors and the screens, I can't watch them all.
Yeah. And the Hall of Fame game's on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Let's see. So what? Let's see here. We got. Yeah. So it's same time as the. I'm looking at tomorrow.
Calgary Toronto game.
Yeah. So that's going to be. So I'll have one on the laptop and I'll have the Hall of Fame. I'll have the Cardinals on the big screen and I'll have the CFL game on the small screen. That's how it's working for me. So
nice.
But yeah. But that's the nice thing about living in the 21st century. Dude, you should have seen when I used to live back, my old house. I had literally, and I'm geeking out a little bit here, but I've got about seven monitors floating around. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 here on my desk. I got 2 over there. So I used to have them all laid out. And it was nice. Oh, yeah, because I had the antenna hooked up to them, too. So I was able – so I had 2 games running off the antenna, at most 2 games on the antenna, and then I had the NFL Sunday Ticket, the streaming version. It was kind of a nice setup I had. It was nice. So it's kind of the same way here. I mean, I geek out a little bit too much when it comes to football, but, yeah. So, yeah, that's where we're headed to. The season's coming up where I'm going to have multiple screens going. And now with NFL Sunday Ticket and even on DAZN, you've got the 4. You can put 4 games in one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's a lot. I mean, let's face it. I mean, it's not like back when we were growing up where you didn't have that and all the games were on network TV and all you got was what you got. I miss those days in many ways, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I kind of like how it is now too. So, all right. Well, moving on here, let's talk about next week real quick. Let's look at next week's CFL games, or this week's, I should say, coming up starting tomorrow. So, again, we got BC and Winnipeg. Like I said, I'm taking Winnipeg in this game. How about you?
Yeah, I think I take Winnipeg as well. I know BC announced they have 6 new starters, so they're getting a little desperate. So
yeah,
but I definitely go with Winnipeg. Just
okay,
they have enough there.
Right. And Montreal, Ottawa. I mean, I think we're on the same page with that.
Yeah,
Calgary, Hamilton. Again, I think it's Calgary's to win. I don't see Hamilton with Bo Levi out. I don't see Hamilton. They might limp into the playoffs, but they'll be a quick one and done if anything.
Yeah,
and. And then you got Saskatchewan and Edmonton. That's, that's the biggie on next week.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna go Edmonton for the sweep.
Yeah, me too. I'm rooting for Edmonton, man, because it's nice to see, for years we've seen nothing but an empty stadium in every game, and now the people are starting to come back. And to me, it was never about the name change.
Yeah. No.
It was.
It's an easy way to blame it.
Yeah. I mean, because in Washington, people are still showing up for football games there. Hell, John Riggins is even going, showing up for football there. It's not about the name. It's about, winning.
Which,
bottom line.
The Riggins announcement shocked me. I thought I could not believe, how was he not already in there?
I thought he was, too.
I'm like, it was like, huh, wow, how do you not do that?
Yeah, and then, it was cool how they did it with him when they announced they're putting him in the ring. The team put his highlights. It was a whole, mini documentary. It was pretty awesome. It was very, very well put together. And Riggins, man, he was a stud. Really, I forgot how good he was. Yeah. And, but then again, he played on those bad Jets teams in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember, was it George Allen who traded for him? Do you recall? Or was it Joe? Was it Joe Gibbs?
I want to say Gibbs. I think Allen was gone by then. Because I know he had the contract holdout. He wanted more money from the Jets, and he said no. Which at that time, those guys were getting in pro sports. Right. You're getting paid peanuts for what you endured and what happened. And but yeah, no, I think so. But either way, I mean, what an amazing career. I mean, even with that, those Jets teams, he was still an unbelievable running back. And then they just put it together. You go with your strengths and roll them to the Super Bowl.
Right. My most memorable moment of John Riggins was wasn't when he played, it was when he was retired. They were celebrating the Super Bowl team, and he came out in uniform just to hear the crowd one more time. It was pretty awesome.
He was a character. Awesome. He certainly was a character back in the day.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of uniforms here, let's talk some NFL. Let's talk, because like I said before, you know, before we started, figured, well, we could talk all CFL, but we got the NFL camps opening up and everything. And we could talk about our high hopes for, you know, your Bills, my Cardinals, my Bears, all that. But I thought, well, you know what? Maybe a better way to start would be with talking fashion. And let's talk. Let's talk, because the Bills dropped their uniforms, their new alternate uniforms, and has there been pretty much a revolt there in Buffalo in terms of what people are seeing or what people are saying?
There's been a lot of negativity towards them, but Josh Allen did come out in favor of them. So there's been trying to be this, hey, Josh Allen likes them, let's give it a chance. But with so many opportunities and options that you've seen over the last 10 years with all these third jerseys and alternate jerseys, I have to say I was pretty disappointed growing up and being part of the area for majority of my life. Like I was disappointed, but once again, I wasn't part of any discussions. I wasn't part of that, I wish they would have gone in a different direction, but I understand that whatever they do has to be approved by the NFL as well. So it's one of those things where they're also doing this so far in advance because of merchandising and trying to get all this stuff done and get it ready to be when you announce it. So it's in the team store. So you're not doing, okay, pre-orders. We'll have this by October.
Yeah, there's so much work. Set up here. There's so much work that goes into this that people forget, which also makes you wonder, too. It's like, wait a minute, how many people approve this? Yeah. How many people thought this was a good idea? This, I mean, okay, the blue helmet is sharp. I'm going to go with the color blue. The blue pops on the helmet. The gray doesn't disappoint me at all. Honestly, and this is just me looking at it, but it's what the logo on the helmet. I mean, I know what it's supposed to, I mean, it's like they zoomed in on the Buffalo and just took that part. I'm like, oh, okay. But to me, it reminds me of the Houston Texans alternate uniform where it's just like a horn. And that's really what we're looking at here.
And anybody who remembers, it's being compared to the Buffalo slug that the Sabres did. It looks like a cashew back in the 2007-06 era when they were.
That's a deep dig for those who don't live in Buffalo.
Exactly. So they're comparing those jerseys, and the big joke was, hey, which is funny because the Sabres and Bills are owned by the same people. That the Bills said, hey, Sabres, hold your. We got this, and this made a worse jersey that you could possibly do. But there was I did hear an interesting point that somebody brought up, and I'm not exactly who did this. If this is Nickel City and we're Buffalo and all that stuff, why? I guess the thought was, why didn't you just go with the actual Buffalo nickel, the Buffalo animal that's on the Buffalo nickel?
Yeah,
and just throw that up there if this is Nickel City being Buffalo. So I guess some of the thought process was it was too close to the old AFL helmets, but I don't know. I not personally not a fan, but If it sells a bunch of stuff, mission accomplished.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk. Moving on here, let's talk about the Rams' new look. Okay, so with the Rams, the helmet. Okay, so they're bringing back the bone white ones, which look a lot better this time around than the first time that they redid them. But to me, I mean, there. How many different uniforms do they have now? Every team's got so many multi. I mean, there's so many. It's becoming like the CFL. Or Oregon right now with uniforms, but they still. I've never been a fan with the redesign of the horn on the helmets.
Yeah, but like I said, I was talked about before. I do like the yellow jerseys. I do like that look.
Yeah,
almost like the reverse of their of the 80s and 90s, where it's predominantly blue with the yellow numbers. Right. I like that. I thought that was pretty sharp. Hopefully they pick the right opponent. A lot of these things, it comes down to what the right opponent is, well, what they're wearing.
Because the last time I remember seeing the Rams wear yellow was at, I think it was back then it was their color rush uniforms. And that was that big Kansas City Monday Night Football game, which was probably one of the best games I've ever seen. That was the last time I remember seeing them wear yellow.
Yep.
All right. Then moving on, Tennessee. To me, Tennessee has nailed the redesign because it's basically the Houston Oilers with just, you know, a different logo. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because, you know, when the Texans come to town, they can just swap out logos and put the oil derrick on there.
Certainly. But you know what? Why mess with something when it works?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like the Love You Blue era. I mean, it doesn't listen. There was a reason they moved. I mean, and it was the original owner of the team. It was the founder of the team that moved.
Yep.
So it wasn't even to me. It's like, well, a new owner came in and screwed the city. No, the city kind of screwed itself. But, you know, then they moved to Tennessee and I don't know, went as the Oilers, and there is oil in that area of the, you know, that, but they should have renamed it something like Copperheads or something to kind of keep with the feel, but you know, now it feels right now. And it feels like this is, they still have the heritage with, because when they moved, they changed the name. It was like they just basically undid everything that they did in Houston. It was, and then slowly but surely kind of I don't want to say, remembering where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, then now I think it's clear this used to be the Houston Oilers and now they're the Titans. And, you know, I like them. I mean, when they came out, I'm like, good, you finally got it right.
Yep. It will sell. It will sell a lot of jerseys. It will sell a lot of hats. And that's the main point.
Yeah. As I never liked their navy. I didn't like their redesigned look after they changed the name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just me. I'm glad they got rid of the flames that were coming out of, I never understood that. So, all right. And then the Falcons. Okay. Whatever. their redesign. What did they do differently? It's hard to me. It's always hard with Atlanta. It seems like they're always changing their uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Just ever so slightly.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they're bringing back the black. I guess they're bringing black. They're having the throwbacks again, but it's not the throwbacks like they're the throwbacks from the 60s, early 70s, not the late 70s when they were a playoff team. Yeah, I like the grit splits look.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Washington. Okay. Well, they're trying.
I give that owner credit. He is trying to undo a lot of damage that Daniel Snyder did. So it's good to see just how he's embracing the community, embracing the past players and bringing them in and making it a welcome environment, which it wasn't for a long time.
Right. Right. Well, my take on this is if you're going to bring back kind of essentially the same uniforms that they used to have, why not just go all the way? And instead of maybe, you know, to me, it was always about I always liked the Redskins logo. And a lot of people, I mean, everybody's like, well, it's an offense. No, I mean, there was, that was actually modeled on a person.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, you know, maybe putting George Washington's profile on there and doing something with the feathers or something, just to at least acknowledge kind of the heritage of the team. And, you know, maybe then it'll make, you know, calling it, it won't feel so weird calling the team the Commanders anymore.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, that just might. And then let's see, we got Baltimore. Yeah. I don't know what the hell Baltimore is doing. Cause I'm looking at there are 12 different uniform combinations that the Ravens can wear with their new design in 2026. That's too much.
Yikes.
That's like the Pittsburgh Pirates of the 70s.
Yeah.
You didn't know what combination uniform they were coming out to play every night. You know, and I was a kid, you know, it's a Cubs fan. So when they played the Pirates, it just seemed, man, how much? Yeah. I mean, there was just too many uniform combinations. So, yeah. But, I did like when they became the Baltimore Ravens, the original logo.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad they can't bring that logo back.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one I was very part of it. When it first came out, I didn't like it, but then it kind of grew on me. And then they got sued, and because apparently the Ravens stole the design from the guy who made it. And yeah, you know, so. All right. And moving on here. Hey, the Jets actually did something right this time. With their whiteout uniforms. Have you seen them?
Yes, not a fan.
How about the helmet?
Not a fan.
Really? See, I like the helmet.
But I'm not a Jets fan. So growing up in having them in the AFC East all those years. It seems like they change everything every couple of years.
Well, I mean, it's the Jets. I mean,
True.
It's a distraction from, you know, the problems they have on the field. Yeah. Do you remember when they got rid of, they went to the Jets with the football logo?
Yes.
For like a hot second. I mean, I like, actually, you know what?
Was that with the black face mask too?
Hang on. Let me take a look at, cause I got the mini helmet. Let's see here. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I think that was the Bruce Coslett era.
No, that wasn't the Coslett era.
It wasn't? I thought it was.
No, well, that was part of, that was the other helmet.
Okay.
It was, I mean, because it's the green helmet with Jets and then the football underneath, not Jets written across with the airplane. The
airplane, flying. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, you know, I mean, it's, yeah, I like it. I mean, it doesn't bother me. How about that? It doesn't bother me. So it'll be curious, though, because we've got the color. We've got the rivalry uniforms we're waiting to see. So you've got the Colts, the Jaguars, the Texans, the Titans, the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings. So they haven't been revealed yet. So probably next month they'll come out.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's fashion.
Yep. And the Buccaneers are keeping the creamsicles. They're going to at least wear them one time this year. So I'm very happy about that.
Nice. And you know what? I think, well, do you remember when the alternates went away and people were upset about it? So now that they're back, people still complain. It's like, well, what are you doing? I'm curious to see what the Bears do. Really am. If they're going to maybe go wear white uniform. I mean, I like the orange helmet. A lot of people hate the orange helmet.
Yeah,
I like the orange helmet. I'd like to see him come out with a white helmet.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
it's tough to see. It's like the older teams when they make those changes, like when the Giants change or something like that. It's like, ooh, it's such a iconic helmet. Like it's just like you don't have to be a. You don't have to be the biggest football fan. If you see a Bears helmet, a Giants helmet, a Packers helmet, you know who they are. And that's
right. Yeah.
That's football. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think that's how most of us got into being pro football fans was because we liked either the logo, the helmet, any combination. And usually our football fandom began when we were kids. So that was the first thing.
Yep.
That stood. Oh, that's a cool. It's kind of like with the Cardinals. I've always liked the Cardinals. I wasn't a Cardinals fan really until the 90s. But to me, it was always about the original Cardinals logo.
Yeah.
I'm not a big, you know, I'm not a fan of this one. They could have done a lot better because it's, you know, it's like, it's meaner, it's that. And I go, yeah, it just doesn't look, it just, you know, but that's the dork in me, the geek. Mm-hmm. I'm very partial to the old logo. Mm-hmm. But hey, it could be worse, man. We could be Dolphins fans.
So true.
You know, they had a beautiful logo. It was tradition. I mean, when you looked at it, you know, and now I don't even know what the hell it looks like, what to compare it to. It's like a defunct, you know, Alliance of American Football team logo.
As long as they're in the bottom of the standings every year, they can wear whatever they want.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to be there, you know, probably this year. So, hey, before, let's see here. Let me see. Somebody popped up in the chat here. I have no idea. This was something because we're on Twitch and something came up on Twitch. Let's see. This idiot.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, your stream boot. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, whatever. Whatever.
Thanks.
I mean, we're on Twitch, so I mean, you know, bullshit's gonna come on through. So
keep watching. Thanks.
Yeah. Whatever. Somebody's watching. But yeah. So to wrap everything up, so in case everybody's looking for where we're at, you know, just go to what. Here. Yeah, just go to gridironamerica.net. That's our blog page. And yeah, we're there. We're on Rumble. We're on all podcast platforms, on Rumble, we're on YouTube, Twitch, something else. I mean, there's a lot. Hell, even on my LinkedIn page. So That's where we're at. So, but hey, if you've stuck with us this long, thank you very much. And hopefully next week, Mike will be able to come back. And next week, you know, we're going to be talking. Well, next week when we talk, the NFL will not have kicked off yet, but we'll be waiting for the Hall of Fame game. So, is Hall of Fame induction? It's not this weekend, is it?
It was this weekend. Yes.
It's this coming weekend.
I thought it just happened over this past weekend, or it's happening right now. Was it Sunday? I saw some speeches. I saw people. I saw plaques. Am I getting that confused at baseball? Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. That's Cooperstown. Wrong. Okay. Hall of Fame. Too many going on at the same time. It was Jeff Kent. Yeah, I saw his speech. So
Did Ichiro go in this time?
I don't think so.
Ichiro Suzuki, or was that last year?
It was last year. I think he's already in there. Was that Seattle? One of the two, but
okay. Okay. I didn't see any news here about the Hall of Fame. So I'm thinking that was last year. Again, it's just the older, you know, because tomorrow's my birthday. And the older I get, the quicker time flies. So
you're only 35. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I know, man. I look good for 35.
There you go. Know?
Yeah. I can't complain. I'm, you know what? As my old man used to say, the alternative's a bitch.
Sure is.
Yeah. All right. So any final words before we sign off here?
No. Another more football than any of us can consume in a day or a week. Enjoy everybody.
Yeah. And we'll hopefully be back not this late in the week, because hopefully Dave's the squirrels stay away from Dave's internet cords and we'll be good. So, and all right. Well, on that note, hey, thanks for listening. Like I said, if you've stuck with us this far, please give us a like and subscribe. And if you're on listening to us on Apple Podcast, hey, we'd be very grateful if you give us a 5-star just to counterbalance the trolls that seem to pop up everywhere. So, all right. On that note, hey, thanks for tuning in and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude.
and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.